Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Red Men TV. I'm Steve Hoare. This is Josh Williams, and this is episode 4 of our series looking at the ideal Liverpool summer transfer targets. In episode 1, we looked at the number 8. In episode 2, we looked at the number 6s. In episode 3, we looked at the left backs. And in this final episode, episode 4, Josh, we're going to be looking at the right centre half position. Ibu Konate has been brilliant, I think it's fair to say, for the most part. A couple of hiccups aside. Behind him, there's definitely been question marks about Joel Matip. There's definitely been question marks about Joe Gomez as well. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at the role, what it demands, the things that Jürgen Klopp is asking from the player who plays in there, and then maybe putting, well, I say maybe, definitely some names who Liverpool could perhaps look to sign in this window if they were indeed looking to make a sign in there. So yeah, ever since they moved to what is effectively the 3-2-5, as you call it, Trent Alexander-Arnold has moved out of right back when Liverpool got the ball. He goes over there, and it's been Ibu Konate for the most part who's been asked to cover all this ground over here, make himself an option for the ball if he needs to get it, but more importantly, being able to defend if Liverpool lose the ball, and there's a lot of open space to get involved in. So talk to you about what Ibu's done. Has he impressed you? And if so, why, before we move on?
He has massively impressed me, yeah, because I think the responsibility on his shoulders is just huge, mate. Like, he's getting asked to do so much.
Yeah, you mentioned on the last show, actually, you said of all the roles, Trent's role's significantly different. Robertson's is significantly different. Konate, I think you can put in the same boat as well. He's gone from effectively being next to the edge of Van Dijk with Trent Alexander-Arnold over here. Now he's on an island all the way. Look at all this stuff. And how many times, and for those who are listening, I'm moving Ibu Konate out to the right. Basically, remember where he smashed Granit Xhaka? He's kind of there now. There's a reason why he had to smash Granit Xhaka, because he's, look at all this. This is all Ibu Konate's area. I mean, they probably do need someone else, because that's a long, you know, 40 times doing that a season, you're going to be absolutely done in.
Yeah, he's two players in one, essentially, isn't he? He's like a centre-half and a full-back on his own at the minute. I said actually to Chris recently that if you put Matip in that role, mate, half an hour in, he's done his hamstring.
Yeah.
I think compared to Konate, he was just like such a physical specimen in terms of being so big size-wise, but really mobile and fast and all that. So he can do it to a high level in that, but my worry would be, if he comes out the team, what does that look like? Because if we just keep everything the same and expect Matip or even Gomez to do that, who's quicker, it's so demanding that it can make a really good centre-half look like he's all over the place.
Yeah, and I said the strength of the system, there's been tons of them. The weakness, I say weakness, but the squad is, there's no one really who can do Trent's stuff. Maybe Bacetic, if you asked him to, Henderson, maybe. It was the Konate one. I was like, if you haven't got Konate, even against Southampton last game of the season, I thought that was a perfect opportunity for Gomez, and he didn't. Gomez played centre-back, and it was Matip who was asked kind of to do a little bit of it as well. You are right in saying, like, it does, the strength of the system is what the system is, of course, but, like, you do look like if he gets injured in it, or he gets injured, in the past you've always had someone you think, yeah, well, if needs be, you'll make, you know, there was only ever one Trent Alexander-Arnold, but if Trent missed a month, you were like, yeah, Joe Gomez or Milner are going to play right-back, and while it won't be ideal, you can still kind of fudge around it. It would be really uncomfortable for Liverpool if they did lose Ibu Konate. I think at this moment, you know, going into next season, if he was asked to do that role, I wouldn't be particularly thrilled of going to Joel Matip, go and do that twice a week for 6 weeks. You'd be like, yikes.
Yeah, well, the worry is as well, if you look at the other players, the other key cogs in the system, you think of Trent, to be fair, Zuma's injury record is flawless. Robertson, always available. Salah, for example, getting lots of space on this flank, he's always available. Konate is the one kind of key cog in the team who, so far at least, hasn't been consistently available in the Liverpool.
And that was brought up when we signed him from Leipzig as well. It was like, listen, his injury record isn't flawless. And you are right, he has missed, you know, he missed the start last season. He's been unlucky, he got injured in a friendly again. But you're right, he has had probably one or two too many injuries where you're like, That, and especially if you're increasing the workload on him and his demand on him,
yeah,
it makes sense that he potentially has an injury risk. So not only do you have to cater for the fact that he might get injured, you want to prevent that by having someone else who can dip in and out the side of them as well, I guess, which is why we're probably having this conversation.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the players that I've named for this role, and when we will get to it, I actually think on the ball, you can potentially upgrade on him almost in terms of what we expect from that player when that player's in possession. Because I think Klopp touched on it recently. I think he can use the ball better when he's the spare man. Sometimes he forces it, sometimes he, you know, I think he can use the ball better, essentially. So I think in that sense, we can potentially even upgrade on him. But finding another player who could do what he's been doing on the defensive side of the game is hard, mate, to the extent where none of them really, honestly, none of them.
We'll find that out in a minute. It's ideal because it's funny because ideally you'd want Ibu Konate in this area, and then the second he got to there, you'd go, right, transform into Joel Matip.
Yeah.
I know when he's near the halfway line, because Matip's got the ability to fire those passes, but he also carries the ball. And I don't know, again, like you're looking for a unicorn here almost, you know, they might not exist, and you might just have to go with that. You know, Konate might be the best you're going to get for it, and you've got to kind of make compromises. So, yeah, on that, then we were speaking about the specifics of what you would like the characteristics of this player to have. Just talk us through some of those, mate, for us.
Yeah, well, it is very standard Liverpool centre-back criteria, but just with some elements placed on Turbo almost. So again, I've said it every week, the age thing is obviously coming into it, so we 25 and under ideally. With this role, you want someone who's right-footed ideally. You want the player to be really good on the ball, composed when they're the free man, and there's an emphasis on them to maybe carry the ball forward like Matip does, play the odd little line breaking pass, because you've got all this space, and if the midfield's clogged, you can use all this space here up until Mo Salah on there on the right side of the pitch occupying the opposition defensive line.
Of those, and I'm going to stop on that one, is that where maybe, like you say, such a player might not exist, but if you said, like, you know, if this was FIFA and you just won like 100 points and you could improve an attribute of Konate by boosting him up a little bit or whatever, champ manager,
yeah,
is that what you'd want? You go, you know what, mate, if you were just that little bit better on the ball, because I agree, I think there were certain times when we saw this formation where teams were happy to let him have the ball, or vice versa, when he got the ball, that was the trigger. If Konate gets it, we go. Or vice versa, if Konate gets it, we don't go. And we just cut off all his options. Because I remember the there was a home game, and I was saying there's a genuine in fact it might be Bournemouth, I can't exactly remember. There's a genuine argument to be made that you bring Joel Matip on for Konate, because if they're going to be parking a bus and Konate's got the ball all the time, don't worry about the defensives. We're losing now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get Matip on that. I remember having that conversation a couple of times when Liverpool were struggling for goals. I'm guessing that if you were being hypercritical almost of Ibu, would that be the thing that you'd look at, perhaps? What he does on the ball in these areas?
Yeah, that's what it is, really. It's the hypercritical stuff, isn't it? We don't want to be too harsh on him, because I think in reality, he is good on the ball. I've got no major concerns with his ability in possession. I don't think he's like, you know, a Wan-Bissaka who's quite clearly a fish out of water playing for the dominant side. Yeah. I think he's decent on the ball. It's just, he's not as good as Matip.
Yeah.
And if he's the spare man, sometimes he can force it. His decision isn't always the best. And when you're forming such a mad, unconventional shape, you need to keep the ball. Otherwise, you're getting done on the break like that.
I was like, again, for those who are listening, I've just put Ibu Konate effectively right wing here on the halfway line. So Trent's inside of him. And he's got, so all he's got behind really has got Van Dijk and maybe Andy Robbo's or two. If he loses the ball there by playing a sloppy ball, Liverpool are in a world of hurt, because we saw a little bit of this. It was actually Jordan Henderson who did it last game of the season against Southampton. Is that Henderson gave the ball away and Trent was in the middle and Liverpool weren't set yet, and then the lad just runs straight through, scores a goal as easy as you like.
Yeah.
Again, that's the, every system's got pros and cons. That's the one with this role here. If you're loose on the ball, you can be punished, because your protection, you've got no protection behind you.
Yeah, even forcing it though, I think he's forced it. That's been my issue at times. He's almost looked uncomfortable that he's the free man, and he's had such time on the ball.
Just give it a chance.
And he's just pushed it forward. Like, and I think if you think of Ben White, he's been a lot more just cool and calm and patient almost when he's been the free man on the ball and stuff. So that is possibly an upgradable quality. And I think defensively, it's the standard stuff, really. It's just you want someone who's physical, tall, dominant in the air. Canate's obviously that. You want them to be comfortable when dragged out wide. Defensive situations, he's comfortable doing that as well. And you want them to be fast, mobile, comfortable with the high defensive line. And ideally, this is more of the unicorn stuff, comfortable defending massive spaces 1v1.
And he is all that. I think defensively, he's pretty much all of that.
He's perfect, yeah.
Yeah, he is perfect. So Matip and Gomez, I think, don't meet, there's loads of those criteria where you'd be like, yikes.
Yeah.
So with that being said, then if Liverpool are again, whether Matip or Gomez, a bid comes in or one of them decides to leave and we're going, right, we need someone else who can play. We can't flog Ebu for 50-odd games next season. Are there a couple of names who stand out to you? Go, right, is who I'd be on the phone to Jörg Schmadke recommended?
Yeah, he is. But I think for the most part, mate, if I'm totally honest with you, I would have reservations getting any of these.
Well,
I want to say any, not any. I mean, there's a few of them that are kind of a bit more of a step above, but okay. Overall, it's not a great market by the looks of it at the minute.
Okay.
Min Jae Kim is where we will start. He's currently at Napoli. He's just won the title with them.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
He's had a really good season, yeah. He's getting linked with Man United for that reason. Good age. I actually don't know off the top of my head where they got him from. Do you?
No, I can't off the top of my head. I know that he's got this release clause, hasn't he, where if they activate it within a certain date, he's gettable. Did he come from Turkey? That's just off the
top. It might be Turkey, actually, yeah.
Off the top of my head, I can't quite remember.
It's, hang on. Fenerbahce. Yeah, so you were spot on there, yeah. But yeah, he looks like a really good player. 26 now, so he's kind of a late bloomer if you want, but he's 6'2", good on the ball. Contract for another 2 years only, which is quite surprising.
Yeah, and I think he had that release clause that has to be activated relatively soon into the window. And I think Napoli have been desperate to try and get him tied down, because you can see why. But like I say, it feels to me like, if he's going to move, it's now. Like, this is the time for him, you know what I mean? I almost feel, who knows what Napoli, what's going to happen to Napoli, but, you know, there's a manager on as well, isn't he, from what we're led to believe.
And, yeah, yeah.
And then, they feel a little bit like Monaco that year when they really hit the heights and then they got pillaged.
Yeah.
I mean, Napoli aren't exactly, skint. They're quite difficult to get players out of, but, like, maybe... Yeah. You are looking, if you're Kim or you're his agent, going, now's the time for me. If you want to move now, here's the go, because I can't imagine Napoli are paying him a massive fee where someone else, Man United, for example, might offer him that.
Yeah, well, he's on about 60 grand a week, apparently, according to the internet. Like, but whether you believe that or not is another question.
I've got no reason not to.
Yeah, but I think considering his age, though, he's probably aware that, like, because he's moved to Napoli now at this age, 26, and that he's probably going to have to move now. If he's going to go to the top elite European side, capable of winning the Champions League every season, for example. So he's definitely on the list. Julian Timber is on the list.
He's linked to Liverpool, hasn't he?
He's at Ajax, but doesn't fit some criteria. I think he would definitely be an improvement on the ball. I don't think he'd do the massive sweeping up thing that Canate does.
And aerially,
yeah. I think he's about 5'10-ish, something like that. So he, if you look at him, actually, he does look like a bit of a fullback, to be honest. You wouldn't think he was a centre-half. Yeah. And I think if Liverpool was to play a back two, I wouldn't be comfortable with him as a back two, no. I'd see him as more of a Trent, to be honest, playing as a right-back in Liverpool's conventional system. So, but I think all things considered, though, because of how good he is on the ball and that, and any emergence at Ajax suggests that he's tactically intelligent and stuff, so that can make up for things and that. Obviously played with Virgil and Gakpo and stuff like that, international duty. So he's probably reached that point at Ajax now where he probably can move. Ajax are usually comfortable doing that with, you know, if you think of De Ligt and De Jong and players like that, they usually do let them leave when they're ready to almost like spread the wings, basically. So yeah. Timber's on the list for that reason. Jules Koundé is another one who is a bit more of a wild card, but I've seen the odd little word saying like Barcelona either need to raise funds or they're thinking of selling in to get someone else in or something. I can't remember what it was, but it seems to be a case of like, he's not for sale, but they would think about it if a bid came in. He's played as like a right wing back, right back, centre half kind of vibe for a while now. I think he initially came to it with Sevilla, getting linked with Chelsea last summer. I think they really nearly signed him as well. Because Tuchel viewed him as a player who could play as a back in a back three on the right, but he could also play further forward as the wing back if Reece James was injured or whatever.
Yeah.
So they would be my three main candidates, and then the rest below that now, it feels a little bit like I'm scraping a.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Battle of Monast.
Got to scrape that battle forward. Going through these then. I mean, I'm looking at some of these names. I've got them there. I'm like, yikes. Okay.
Yeah, well, we've got Bremer to start with. Reason I've got him on my list primarily is because we've been linked with him in the past. Before he moved to Juventus, I think he was at Torino, and Liverpool were getting linked with him roughly when we lost every centre-back at Liverpool died.
Ever played, yeah.
They all just died at once, mate. We needed a centre-half, yeah. So we ended up getting Ozan Kabak in.
God, yeah.
don't remind me. But yeah, Bremer was getting linked in. Brazilian lads, good in the air. I think he's about 26 years now, maybe. Another one is Maxence Lacroix, who plays for Wolfsburg. So Schmeichel should know him quite well. He is a good player, to be fair to him. Progressive, upcoming centre-half, about 24 years now. Dusan Kalecikar is another one who was getting linked back when Liverpool's centre-half department died. He was at Marseille at the time. We actually bid for him as well, but Marseille didn't have enough time to get in a replacement. He ends up staying at Marseille and moving to Southampton and then gets relegated. But he's physical, good on the ball, used to playing as part of like a pressing unit, considering he came through at Salzburg, then he went to Southampton, Arsenal and all that. So he's used to doing all that, but he's just not really Liverpool level, potentially.
Agreed.
And then you've got Bela Kotchap as well, who's also gone down with Southampton. He's younger, probably got a bit of a higher ceiling. But again, he's quick. But whether he's got Liverpool level to his game, I don't know. Liverpool level's extremely high. We've just been touching there on what Kanate is expected to do.
Well, whoever comes in has got to be better than Matip. And I know Joel Matip's got his knocks, and he didn't have a particularly great season, even injury-wise as well. But there's no point selling Joel Matip to get someone in who's not as good as him. I mean, there has to be a baseline level. Yeah. You're kind of wasting your time. Yeah, I know Matip isn't ideal for this, but you know what I mean? It's a bit, you know, what are you doing otherwise? There's no point, is there, really? Whoever comes in, ideally, you're not going to buy no one better than Ibu Kanata, you'd think not.
No.
So if you're buying someone, they need to be an improvement on Matip or Gomez, or you just keep Matip or Gomez.
Well, I was going to ask you then, what's your stance on Gomez then?
He's not for me.
No.
He's not for me. But...
How long has that been the case, though?
This season in particular, the start of it.
Yeah.
But again, I wasn't enthralled by him last year, if to be told. There was a time when I thought, I'm in a random shelter, but I'm in a WhatsApp group with my mates, and I remember at the time saying, like, he's England's best centre-back.
Yeah,
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And now every time, like, something happens, he gets skinned by someone, I get a meme, oh, yeah, England's best centre-half. At it again. But again, maybe it's just injury. It looks like just so much lack of confidence. And also,
yeah.
My main issue with Joe Gomez is that he's a backup. but backups need to be able to play. And he feels like he needs like 4 or 5 games before he's ready. Well, he's never going to get that. You want your rotation options. You just need to be able to be dropped in and play. And like, James Milner got so much stick at times. But like, one thing you say is when he was in, he was at a level. He didn't need like 4 or 5 games of a run-up to get in. I always felt like with Gomez, rather, that he needs like a few games before he's anywhere near it, and he's just not going to get it. So, yeah, listen, I think if Liverpool didn't have so much to do up at this end of the pitch, there's an argument, say, so you sell both Matip and Gomez and you're trying to find two more. That's like, you know, you're replacing the leaky tap when there's a hole in the roof. You know, get the hole in the roof fixed first, and then you can... What are your thoughts on those in general?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, sadly. I think it's frustrating watching him because he's got a lot of the natural perks you need to be a really good centre-half. He's rapid. He's a decent height. He's not like massive Canate level height, but he's like six foot one or something like that, maybe. He was, good on the ball in terms of punching the ball through the lines every now and then and stuff like that. I've seen videos of him like 1v1 in Liverpool training with like Diaz and Salah, and he takes the ball off them pretty cleanly and that. But out of nowhere, I think over time, he's A, lost a lot of confidence.
That's the one, yeah.
Possibly because he suffered a massive injury, and then he comes back and he sees Canate stood there as his competition to get back in the team. That's a massive drop in confidence. And B, possibly on the back of the confidence drop, I think he's developed a bit of a Lovren tendency to, out of nowhere, shoot himself in the foot.
Be a bit erratic, yeah.
Yeah, when it looks like he's doing well, he'll just be... We had players like that. We had Lovren who did it, Mignolet did it. Just players who, out of nowhere, would be having a good game and just cost you the match in an instant because they'd fall over or they'd, you know, something mad like that. And he's suddenly become error prone.
Yeah.
Never was, though. So it's a shame. I don't know if it's recoverable. Klopp will know more about that than I will, but I really want him to do well. But every show I see, it's just a bit more, it's just like another nail in the coffin.
Yeah, and again, it's one of the reasons, again, going back, and the matter thing was why we're having this conversation, because the lad who's in the first 11 signed, we spoke about this with Robertson on last week's show. I'm absolutely fine with Andy Robbo, but I'm not quite sure I'm that fine with Tsimikas. I actually feel even stronger on this side. I'm less sure about, especially, Gomez. Matip is more...
If Gomez was to start 10 Premier League games a season, how would you feel about that?
Not great.
You still feel uneasy with that, yeah? Because if you feel uneasy with that, you've got to go.
Yeah, well, that's my point. Honestly, I'm not... Again, and this might just be recency bias, because if he got his confidence back, I'd have no problem with it, but he looks lost.
Yeah.
And he looks like a lad who could just do with a move and get himself maybe less pressure on him or something. And by all accounts, you mentioned, you hear reports from him, he balls out in training or something, but sometimes that's even worse. When you're a training ground player.
Yeah.
I hope he isn't that, and I hope he's recoverable. And like I say, my gut feeling, if I'm honest with Josh, and I might be proven wrong, I don't think Liverpool are going to be doing this. I think they might go with one more year with what they've got.
Yeah, I do.
But Gomez, I thought he was telling that Southampton game, he should have been that. That should have been him. He should have been given that, and maybe he wasn't trusted or whatever, I don't know. Maybe he didn't fancy the idea of Matip being on his own in the middle. But Gomez has got the pace. He's actually good enough in the air. He's better on the ball than Canate, I think, if truth be told. He should be the backup, but yeah, it doesn't look like he's trusted to be it, which is why we're looking at some of these names. But looking at some of these names, I probably have Joe Gomez.
That's it, mate, yeah. A lot of these names, it wouldn't be worth going to the trouble of selling Gomez and getting this player in when they're just roughly the same levels. Yeah. And you could argue, actually, to be honest, if Gomez rediscovers who he is, he's better than a lot of these lads.
Yeah, agreed.
He's just not now, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But, the next lad is another Leverkusen player under Xabi Alonso, Edmund Tapsoba. Good player, to be honest. Really physical, good 1v1, pretty quick, good on the ball. I first came across him when I was watching the Bundesliga every week during COVID, when the Bundesliga was the only football getting played.
I remember it well. I lost a lot of money on it.
Yeah. Well, I remember watching him and thinking, why have I not heard much about this lad? He's a good player, him lad. But he hasn't got his move yet. I think he's got a little bit less time on his deal now. Maybe a move's going to come soon. But I don't know really how he's developed in recent 12 months. Like, I don't know what a season's been like, really. But he's an interesting profile anyway. There's a lad called Jean-Claire Tadebo as well, who is, I think he's at Nice at the minute, same place as Thuram, who we're getting linked with. They're not having a good time at the minute. He's, I think the current owner has not lost interest, but I think he's moving towards Man United, obviously. So I think there's talk of some kind of like sale thing going on there, where they lose the two biggest prospects, essentially, and one of them's Tadebo, the other one's Thuram. Good, well-rounded centre-back, really. Right-footed, decent player, good age. But at his peak, and at Joe Gomez's peak, probably similar level, to be honest. I don't think he's massive either, like Canate or Virgil or whatever. And the last one that I've got is just Nikola Milenkovic, who plays for Fiorentina. He is massive, to be fair to him. I think he's about 6'4", something like that. Really good in the air. West Ham were linked with him when he got Kurt Zouma. He was kind of their alternative, and he is a decent player. I think he's about 25 now. I don't know if he's that great on the ball in comparison to some of the names that I've mentioned, and I would have some reservations there, but he's close enough to make the list, I suppose. But yeah, overall, it's not a great list, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. So I've got two questions. I'll ask you for your ideal targets in a moment. How many of those would you say, we're going to sell Joe Gomez and we're going to buy one of those? Would you be like, right, that's even worth doing? Because I'm looking at it now and I'm maybe thinking three, the top three.
Yeah.
Kim, Timber and Koundé. Would you go along with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I agree with you, mate.
And even then, I'm not sure about Timber. Who knows? If he does sign, I hope I'm wrong. But who would your ideal one be? Would it still be Kim?
I do like the idea of Jules Koundé doing it.
Yeah.
Probably Kim or Koundé, yeah. Timber, I agree with you. I think he'd upgrade us on the ball. And maybe he would be a bit Lisandro Martinez in the sense that he is so good upstairs that his physicality doesn't become a concern, maybe. But I've always liked that Liverpool centre-backs are so dominant 1v1 and you can put them against anyone. Vinicius, Mbappe or whatever, and they'll give it a good go and win 50-50 out of battle. So Timber maybe doesn't have that element to his game. So probably lean towards Kim or Koundé, yeah. But overall, probably can't see us getting any of them.
Yeah, fair enough. Like I say, it's a good exercise to show, actually, when you're moaning about things. It's like, well, you know, what's the alternative? I used to say this, yeah. There were times I said this about Simon Mignolet at times. I was like, yeah, we could do with an upgrade, but who's gettable? Who's definitely better than him? And it took Liverpool a long time before they were able to get one. Yeah. There's Alisson, you know what I mean? Because it was like, well, we'll sell him and we'll bring him in. It was like, well, it was kind of a wash, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
maybe better the devil, you know. They tried it, of course, with Karius, and it didn't work out. And then all of a sudden, Alisson comes in and goes, Sam. I actually thought this a little bit at the time with Brendan as a manager. I was like, why would you sack him? Who's available? And then the second Klopp and Ancelotti became like, Sam, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And sometimes there is a little bit to it. It's like,
yeah,
it's all well and good. What can change? But like, there's got to be something out clearly obvious out there better than him before you bother. Otherwise, you're kind of just wasting your time. So I'm with you. I think we've proven it. If Liverpool are in the market for a right side of centre back, it's not going to be easy. Let us know in the comment section if you're watching on YouTube, or indeed tweet us on the socials at the Red Men TV or at Distance Covered and at Distance Covered Rival. Get us both involved. Let us know which of those names you would most like Liverpool to sign this summer. If they do, go and sign a right side of centre back, or do you think you're know, better off keeping it as they are? If you haven't already, like I mentioned at the top of the show, there are three previous episodes. We've looked at number 8 in episode 1, defensive midfielders in episode 2, left backs in episode 3, and this is the final part of the series, looking at these right side of the centre halves. By the way, if you want even more deep dive stuff, go to redmenplus.com. You sign up as a yearly or monthly subscriber. You can go back and watch the entire back catalogue of Josh and Chris. Most of it is timeless. There's a couple of ones that you're probably match specific, but I'd say 80% of them are ones that you could watch or listen to at any time. So I do recommend you go and check that one out. Josh, thanks for joining me for the series. I've really enjoyed it. If Jorg's watching, I think we've given him a long list of names that he probably already knows.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, I'm sure he could do some Googling. So thanks very much, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, no worries, mate.
Thanks all you guys for watching or listening to the Deep Dive here on Red Men TV. We'll see you all soon.
Have you had a chance to watch episode 1 of Bobby Firmino, Best in the World, our brand new documentary series? If you haven't, check out episode 1 right now on YouTube. And if you want to watch the full series, head to redmenplus.com. Episode 2, episode 3, and full interviews with all of the incredible contributors, including Liverpool skipper Jordan Henderson. It will be there for you. Go over, fill your summer with Bobby happiness, with Bobby Firmino, Best in the World, our exclusive documentary series.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.